Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Today's episode of The Other Stories has been sponsored by The Sharp End of the Rainbow, a brand new short story collection from Madeleine Swan, published by Heads Dance Press and out today over at godless.com. Be sure to click the link in the show notes.
The Sharp End of the Rainbow will transport you to a gilded dystopian wonderland. Where else could you grow a man from a mysterious seed sent to you in the mail? What about a giant octopus who shows up in the corner of your room and can clone anything it eats? The Sharp End of the Rainbow collects 39 of Madeleine Swan's most bizarre stories into one surreal package. Available at Goddess Horrors on January 24th, 2022, and everywhere February 1st, 2022. Ouch! I got too close to the sharp end.
Today's episode is Shut In, written and narrated by Georgia Cook.
Sam's apartment complex was a place of thick cream carpets and glistening windows, winking in the morning sunlight. As the lift door slid open, Amy couldn't help but feel a twinge of familiar anger. God, he had it so easy. Here she was, barely scraping by to care for their mother, living in their tiny childhood home with a pending engagement and a fiancé growing increasingly delusioned by the day, while her older brother spent his day secluded in understated luxury. Amy forced herself down the corridor, passing a handful of identical doors, spaced at discreet intervals to suggest the expansive apartments behind them. There were no windows in this corridor. The air had a stifling, muffled quality. Amy realised she'd slowed to a tiptoe and shook herself angrily. Fuck this. She marched the rest of the way to Sam's door, number 63. Took a deep breath and knocked. Sam? It's Amy. Open up. Nobody answered. Amy knocked again, harder. Sam? Nothing. She stood back, glaring at the well-polished wood. Nobody'd heard from Sam in months. This wasn't unusual, of course. Sam had a habit of disappearing, often for weeks at a time, sequestering self in his squalid little flat, tinkering with his latest obsession. But even for him, this was excessive. She'd sent emails, called his meagre group of friends, tried his social media accounts, but all to no avail. She'd left voicemail after voicemail.
Sam, it's Amy. Mum's birthday's coming up. Did you get her a card? Sam, birthday's tomorrow. Do you want me to sign the card for both of us? You owe me. Sam, where the hell are you? Mum said you didn't call. Sam, I swear to God.
Eventually, her fiancé, Lisa, who'd endured several disappearances already, convinced her to give it a rest. He'll call eventually, Amy, she said. Stop stressing yourself. He always does this. So Amy stopped. She sent their mother flowers on Sam's behalf, a card signed from them both, and chalked it up to yet another squandered celebration. But that had been 2 weeks ago, and still nobody had heard from him. Finally, forcing down a reluctant twinge of concern, Amy had packed up her car, told Lisa she was visiting friends in New York, and driven north to Sam's apartment. Now, she wondered why she'd bothered. On a whim, she tried the handle. It turned without resistance. The door wasn't locked. Amy paused, glancing over her shoulder in case Sam's neighbours had spotted her, and gave it a push. The door swung open, releasing a wave of fetid air into the corridor. Amy coughed, covering her mouth with a sleeve. The hallway beyond lay dark and silent. Not a single light flickered within the apartment. Nothing stirred. Amy's stomach dropped. Sam? She called, hating how strained her voice sounded. I'm coming in! The gloom swallowed her as she stepped inside. The fetid smell lingered in the hallway, musty and cloying. The air was stiflingly hot. Amy tried the light switch. Nothing. Sam's door key lay on the side, covered in dust. Amy shivered. In her mind's eye, she saw Sam's body sprawled across the sofa, his skin grey and spongy, dead for weeks. She forced the thought away. Maybe he was ill. Maybe he was staying with friends. Maybe, God forbid, he'd finally found a girlfriend. Most likely, he'd found a new obsession. Christ! Despite her unease, Amy couldn't help the customary wave of disgust as she eased open Sam's living room door. Like the rest of the block, Sam's flat had started out beautiful. An open-plan kitchen and lounge, with tall bay windows and rich cream walls, offering fifth-floor views of a sprawling cityscape. Now the air smelt of stale sweat and rotten food. A spray of black mould arched across the bathroom door, threatening further horrors within. The curtains were drawn, giving the room a cramped, cavernous air. The low ceilings only served to deepen the shadows, turning each corner into a distant black pocket. Dishes sat mouldering in the sink, giving off a stink Amy could smell from the doorway. And as for the living room itself, Amy froze, her eyes widening in the gloom. Junk lay everywhere. Televisions and ancient computers sat stacked in blocky towers, threatening to swallow Amy whole if they fell. Cables of all colours and sizes trailed across the carpet. A crude pathway of sorts had been carved through the mess, leading towards Sam's bedroom. Black screens glinted in the half-light, giving Amy the impression of watching eyes. Christ, Sam! What the fuck? She should turn around right now. Leave the flat, call the police, maybe call Lisa for support. This was weird, even for Sam. But something about that narrow little pathway, riddled with wires and overhanging pieces of machinery, utterly, incomprehensibly unsafe, called Amy onwards. She crept forward, horribly aware of each creaking footstep, each distant breath of wind. What had her brother been doing? She remembered his last obsession. Days and days in the Colorado desert, dehydrated and half mad, scanning the sky for UFOs. She remembered the obsession before that, finding Sam hunched in his university dorm after a fortnight of missed calls, buried deep in the online labyrinth of the dark web. She remembered the terrifying weekend she'd spent, aged 10, searching their empty middle school for ghosts. She'd lost her way in the basement, calling and shrieking in the pitch-black dark. When she'd finally crawled her way up the stairs, breathless and terrified, she'd found him sitting in the corridor on his Game Boy, oblivious. That was Sam. Oblivious. His obsessions never wavered in their intensity. The strange and the unknown consumed his world. Sam's bedroom door hung open, just visible beyond the junk, Amy inched towards it, forcing down a twinge of discomfort. As she rounded the corner, she froze again. The teetering piles had been pushed aside, forming a circle of clear carpet. In this makeshift clearing sat an arcade cabinet. Its sides were an unadorned mossy green, a mess of wires and circuitry spilled from its open chest. Its screen sat black and empty, a small white line blinking at the top left corner, as if awaiting instruction. A battered computer keyboard filled the space usually occupied by a joystick. Amy spread her fingers over it, feeling the worn Bakelite keys. How old was this thing? Something flickered in Amy's periphery. She looked up. A single word had appeared on screen in uniform white letters. Amy. Amy jolted back. Sudden fury rose to swallow her panic. So he was here, the little shit. She turned. All right, Sam. Very fucking funny. Where are you? Nothing moved beyond the piles of dead electronics. Unperturbed, Amy stormed through the aisles. Sam's bedroom was dark and sweltering. The bed sat empty and unmade. Mouldy plates and cups of coffee littered every available surface. His computer had been left running on the cluttered desk, casting a pallid glow across the room. Amy found her eyes drawn to the screen. 3 weeks ago, Sam had purchased a second-hand arcade cabinet from an eBay seller in Germany, totaling just $80. So that explained the mess outside. Slowly, inexorably, Amy reached for the mouse. A mass of tabs documented a frenzied rabbit hole of research. Words like Polybius and serial possession flashed across the screen, as alien to Amy as anything in her brother's world. Finally, she found a crudely formatted webpage detailing an obsessive record of a mud-based arcade cabinet named Process. Grainy photos depicted a deep green cabinet, a simple keyboard in place of a joystick, its screen dark and foreboding. Process had first appeared, according to the page, in the late 70s, arriving in arcades seemingly overnight. The game had no official manual, no guide, just a blank black screen and a keyboard, inviting players to ask a series of questions. Beside each documented appearance was a missing persons report from the same area. Wherever the cabinet went, it seemed, someone vanished. Usually a child. Amy sat back, battling between unease and irritation. So that was it. Some cookie-cutter urban legend from 50 years ago. An arcade cabinet linked to missing children. And Sam had bought an exact replica. What was he doing? Amy left Sam's bedroom. The cabinet was waiting for her, hulked in its clearing like a waiting beast. A new line of text had appeared beneath the first. Amy, please, help me. Christ, Sam, Amy whispered. This isn't fucking funny. Where are you? To her horror, the line flickered. I'm in here. I can see you, Amy. You just left my room, right? I don't... Maybe Sam had a webcam connected to the cabinet. Was he recording all this, laughing to himself somewhere? Amy wanted to tell herself that nobody, not even Sam, would go this far for a trick. But a different realization rose instead. Nobody knew she was coming today. Heart pounded, she marched up to the screen. Sam? What the hell's going on? You saw my computer in there, right? This thing, it eats you. I can feel it pulling me apart, Amy. You've got to help me, I think. The writing cut off abruptly, before returning on the line below. I think there's something in here, with me. Amy leaned down, desperate to see some clue to this trickery. Instead, she found herself picturing her brother floating in a deep black void, cold and alone. Maybe he'd typed the wrong question. Maybe the machine was merely a shell for something much stranger, picking its food apart piece by piece until nothing remained but white text on a black background. Amy closed her eyes. You're really stuck inside. Yes, I'm fucking stuck inside, Amy bristled. She recognised the cadence now. Well, good for you, Sam, You finally found an actual fucking mystery. What do I do? Ground the back of the machine. See the yellow cord? Put it back in. Don't touch the others. I think this thing's feeding off the electronics. What happens if the power goes? Please, Amy. Slowly, slowly, Amy crouched down beside the cabinet. A trail of wires led from the back, joining a mass of plugs and cables connected to the wall. Amy eased a hand through the gap. The thick yellow power cord gleamed in the darkness. The top one? The cabinet beeped. Amy moved to grab it, and paused. A dark, terrible thrill rose in her chest. She was alone in here. Nobody knew she'd visited Sam. God, it would be so easy. The cabinet beeped again. Amy glanced up. What's taking so long? Just finding the right one. Amy sat back on her heels, her heart pounding. The thrill was growing now, becoming hard and unyielding in her chest. She took a deep breath. Did you know it was Mum's birthday last month? This time there was an even longer pause. What? Just wondering if you knew. The little counter blinked, the cabinet whirred, then... How the fuck should I know? Amy's mouth twitched. The dark and terrible weight blossomed upwards. A moment of total understanding. Yeah, just checking. She ducked back down, ignoring the furious whirring inside the machine, grasped the nearest cord, and pulled. The entire plug came free with a soft pop. In the split second before the lights cut out, Amy thought she heard a soft mechanical scream. Then blackness. She leaned back. The mess of electronics lay dark and silent. No white text. No whir of eternal mechanics. No Sam. Amy waited, listening intently. Then she rose unsteadily, brushed herself down, and left the apartment at a brisk walk. She locked the door behind her, whistling softly, then dropped the key down the apartment rubbish chute. Maybe someone would open Sam's apartment eventually. Maybe they'd find the cabinet. Maybe they'd start it up again. But that wasn't her problem. None of it was her problem. It would never be her problem again.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Other Stories. Shut In was written and narrated by Georgia Cook, edited by Carl Hughes, with music by Daniel Birch and Tom Robson, and sound effects provided by freesound.org. The episode illustration was provided by Luke Spooner of Carry On House. A quick thanks to our community managers, Joshua Boucher and Jasmine Arch, and Carolyn O'Brien for helping with our submission reading. And of course, a thank you to Ben Errington for his Tommy gun of content he keeps tucked away in that guitar case, ready to fill a rival gangster with social media bullets. Georgia Cook is an illustrator and writer from London. She is the winner of the LISP 2020 Flash Fiction Prize and has been shortlisted for the Bridport Prize, Staunch Book Prize and Reflex Fiction Award, among others. She can be found on Twitter at @GeorgiaCooked and on her website at GeorgiaCookWriter.com. If you'd like to sponsor an episode or an entire volume of The Other Stories, you can do that, and you can tell everyone about your podcast or your book, or perhaps you'd even like to invite everybody who listens over to your house for cake and tea. If that sounds like fun, head over to theotherstories.net/contact and let us know the details about your cake and tea party. Also, we are still accepting submissions for short stories, so head over to theotherstories.net/submissions to find out more details. The Other Stories is a production of the story studio Hawk and Cleaver and is brought to you with a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means don't change it, don't sell it, but by all means share the hell out of it. Until next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.